Blog Talk Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, the immaculate. Now listen to this.
Let's go back to yesterday, when a phone call cost a dime. In New Orleans, just a nickel. Turn back the hand of time. Turn back the hand of time. Picture room, window, sofa, some chairs. Television turned on for tonight. Picture woman, two children seated. Man lying there. Faces softly glowing in the light.
Sounded so much better in rehearsal. This is your old pal, Dr. Buck. Welcome to Summa Time, another exciting edition. As I stumble onto the airwaves again to try and make sense of the world around you and me, and hopefully everything in between us tonight, because we are just surging with information and all kinds of fancy things tonight. Because it's, you know, it's been one of those weeks, guys, where, you know, lots happened since the last time we spoke. And happy Soma Spring to everybody, which started on Monday. I know the equinox is not until, the solstice, I mean. The solstice is not until the 20th, but as of the 8th, we are now in the Soma Spring. So we are now getting ready for the season, and if you are not aware of how to do that, please go to my site, somaspace.org, and you can click over to the OVI newsletter and get yourself... all situated there with the seasonal transition survey, Spring Forward, which we'll be doing on Sunday morning. Of course, most of the country, because some of those, backward states don't do the time change thing, like Arizona. Bunch of hillbillies. Anyway, number to call to get on the show tonight is 646-478-4847. 646-478-4847. The reason I say that is that tonight we have one of those jing, jing, jing contests, ding, ding, ding. And if you just flipped over to Facebook to see what I'm doing today, you can see what it's about. Because tonight we're going to be going over our little kind of dysfunctional relationship with television. Over the weekend here in New York, when everybody was settling in for their Oscar parties across the country, 3 million of us, Cablevision subscribers, were basically unplugged from the culture at large. And what happened was basically Disney, a multi-billion dollar industry, told Cablevision, a multi-billion dollar industry, we're not paying the rent. You know, we want to get a little piece of the pie here. So they had a stalemate, and they pulled the channel off the air, a major local channel, off the air for 21 hours and change. And it really looked like, you know, we were going to get shut out. They were telling us to get our antennas out, and, you know, and all kinds of crazy things were going on. I'm sure the satellite people were trying to sell satellite conversions. Long story short, bing, the Oscars started. I think it was the advertisers more than the cable subscribers that spoke, and New York was able to see the Oscars after all, after 21 hours of just withdrawal. And I tell you, it's sort of like getting one of your two front teeth knocked out when a major channel. We've been so indoctrinated in cable television and satellite television and HDTV and all that stuff the last 10 or 15 years. But, you know, I go way back with channels 2, 4, and 7, 5, and 9, and 11, you know, WPIX. So as an old man, it was a little weird to see that happen. But in this modern era, when you see the way things went down that whole day, and this gets into our little topic here of how television is still sort of the cultural, you know, sun at the middle of the culture that distributes information. We rely on it as sort of a way to kind of like what's really going on in the world. So, all right. So the contest is, if you know Shannon Bakel, our dream girl, Hooters girl, who's going to be interviewing tonight at 10 o'clock. We actually got to talk to her last night. We'll be replaying that tonight at 10 o'clock. If you know her hometown, Hooters, and you have voted for her in the Dreamdale contest, then you can call in and tell us the answer. And we got somebody already, and you'll get a signed autographed picture from Shannon herself. All right, so area code 850, you're on Summertime. Do you know the answer?
I do know the answer. She works at Schaumburg, Illinois Hooters at 1705 East Golf Road.
Wow, you know the address. Okay. Are you calling from there? Okay.
I am calling from Florida.
Oh, all right. All right, cool. All right, so and what's your name?
My name is Chuck Coleman, but my AKA name is Hooter Chuck of Florida.
Hooter Chuck of Florida. Do you own a Hooters down there, or do you run them, or you just frequent them?
No, I'm just a frequent. I've visited 456 of them so far.
So the girls know you, 456 of them. My God.
Yes, the girls know me. I go to the pageant each year down in Wild Vegas, Hollywood, Florida, wherever they hold it.
Now, this is something interesting because I don't really get too many Hooters groupies calling the show. So give me an insight here. What part of Florida are you from?
I'm in between Pensacola and Fort Walton Beach, right on the panhandle in northern Florida.
Oh, okay. I've got relatives in Destin, so that's not too far.
I am 17 miles from Destin, and if you go there and ask for Hooter Chuck, they will all stand up and give you free chicken wings.
Wow. There's a reason to go to Destin. I'm actually going down to Tarpon Springs next week, and is there a Hooters down there I can get a free meal down near Tampa?
It probably is, yeah. Where are you going? Where are you going?
We're going to Tarpon Springs, Florida, just north of Tampa there.
Of Tampa, yeah. Try to go to Tyrone's Hooters and see Marie Butler. She was the Hooter Magazine girl last year.
Okay, and if we mention your name, then they'll know you there?
They will know me there.
Okay, well, we'll see if we get some wings out of it. This is working out really good for me tonight. All right.
If you go to St. Pete, not just St. Pete, but if you go to Clearwater, see Nicole Sigler.
Nicole Sigler? She's in the contest, too, I think.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to get our girl Shannon here to the semifinal. She's been really real good sport teaching her some of the somatic stuff because she's an actress and she's got this whole dimension to her that is, one of those bonuses that you don't get out of the average waitress in a Hooters bar. We're looking at this as a social media experiment, and you definitely are an example, 450 of them. Now, do you work for Hooters? Do they give you anything, or are you just a big fan of the environment? What drew you to this quest to go to all these Hooters?
Well, it actually started back in Daytona Beach in 1994, right after I retired from the service.
Uh-huh.
And I happened to meet the owner, CEO then, Mr. Robert Brooks.
Okay.
And he just became a very good friend of mine, and ever since then, I have been one of those type of people. I enjoy the hospitality, the girls. A lot of people, have different viewpoints on Hooter restaurants and that, but I can tell you, if you go in there and see some of those girls, how well-educated they are and how well-mannered they are, I think a lot of people would have a different opinion of them.
Yeah, no, there was a couple weeks ago, there was a little controversy when they had that undercover boss show featured a Hooters manager or something like that, right? There was a little bit of a controversy.
It was, That's Mr. Brooks' son, Kobe Brooks, who now runs Hooters of America in Atlanta, Georgia.
Right. And just in case anyone missed it, I guess, I don't know, I kind of caught a piece of it going by, you know, the radar, was that the way he was, this boss was treating his employees wasn't really up to the Hooters standard, and I guess there was some, you know, some fallout from it. I don't know most, you know, the names and dates of the people, but it was just a weird, you know, sort of a surreal, you know, episode of that particular show. So I don't know. This is one of those things where you're going to know way more than me about the topic. I just came in late to the movie, so to speak, and that's what got me interested in looking at and how a restaurant like this that's gotten really involved up to its elbows in social media has actually created a vehicle for all these women to basically use Hooters as a stepping stone to get them into you know, their next level of their career, whether they go on in Hollywood or other forms of entertainment or just stick with Hooters, you know, and be part of their promotional staff. So, you know, I mean, and in your experience over the evolution in the last 15 years, you know, pre-internet and early internet and now, have you seen a change in the culture in terms of the Hooters upper management, or have they always basically been, you know, kind of a constant guiding force for the people that come in under their wings, so to speak?
Well, I think Mr. Brooks, when I first met him, he was very very consistent on his policies with Hooters on how they were run and the respect that employees to management and employees to customers were to act in that. And I know from being involved with that with Mr. Brooks, I used to have his private number, and if I was at a certain Hooters and I saw something wrong, I would call him right at his office, and it was taken care of right at that time.
Wow.
I mean, I would be sitting in the restaurant and there would be a call back to that individual restaurant, and there was action taken right at that time. And Mr. Brooks was a very hands-on individual. He would go around unannounced to different restaurants around the country. He would fly in and just stop in. I mean, it was none of this, I'll be here in a week, have everything spick and span. It should be that way 24/7. So I think the culture is still the same.
Yeah, well, as long as it's still run by the same basic principles, then it seems like it's permeated down because, like you said, when you meet these girls, they're not giving you the standard beauty contest answers, and you know they actually are pretty thoughtful, and they have a lot of them are pretty well educated, and you know, the one we featured tonight, you know, Shannon, she's been acting since she's nine, you know. So
Shannon,
she's not, you know.
I really believe with the way Shannon's attitude is, and her desire to succeed, I think she will do very well, and I've talked to her via the internet, Facebook, and everything. And if there's a young lady that has her head screwed on right in where society is today, she is an exceptional individual. And I don't, anybody would meet her would think nothing but wishing her great success and everything. And Illinois should be very proud of her.
Yeah, she's, you know, all 19 years old, and she's really, you know, I guess last June was when she kind of got recognized in the pageant, and you know, from talking to her on the internet, like you, and she's pretty much gone on this whirlwind tour, and she's kept her head about her, and she's very much, you know, rooted in her family about back there, and she moved out to L.A., and you know, we'll get into more later, but it just sounds like she's an exemplar of what the Hooters culture really wants to generate with these women. They're not in the business. I mean, again, it's so funny because it's sort of like a, I don't want to say like an inside joke, but oh, Hooters, oh, and you look at it as like a, it's just a big, you know, TNA kind of a situation. But it actually, it's funny. It's almost like the most American restaurant you could possibly think of because it doesn't phony up that element as much as some of the other restaurants try to hide it and, you know, make it not a big deal. They say, here it is, and it's just, it's almost like the way Dolly Parton was in the 70s. It's like, here I am, deal with me. And you don't get the same sense of, oh, this is icky and I got to hide this thing. No, it's okay. And I tell you what, you know, what's underrated? The damn food is good. I actually enjoy the food when I go to one of those places. And I've been to them in, not 450, but probably been to about 50 of them in the last, 15, 20 years, whatever it's been. And, whether I'm down in Louisiana, where I was a couple years ago, down in one there, down in Washington, D.C., around here in New York, consistent food, So I think he's got something that a lot of restaurants and a lot of these brands don't have, which is an authentic, really a corporate culture that I think extends outside the confines of the restaurant. So I'm glad you're out there. And you're going for 500? You're going for 1,000? What's the goal?
Well, they don't have 500, so I can't do that. But my next trip looks like it's going to be in January, and I'll be heading to Melbourne, Australia for the Australian Open tennis tournament. And supposedly I'll be staying with some Hooter girls that live down there and work for Hooters. So
wow.
That should be quite an experience.
Well, retirement's treating you well there, Chuck. I think
yeah.
That's pretty good. All right, well, what you do to get the prize tonight, you drop me an email, and that's at nakedsoma@gmail.com, and send me your address and all that stuff, and I'll make sure that Shannon gets you the autographed picture, and, I guess you get another day to vote for tomorrow. The contest ends on Friday at midnight, so hopefully we'll get
the
next round.
That is the, not to cut you off, that is the second round, and then they go into another round.
Yeah, she's got to win two more rounds to get to the finals, I think. And I'll go over all the particulars later because it's elaborate. And this is a different contest than the pageant in June every year that crowns
that is
you
correct.
International or something. This is just a dream girl contest.
You need, if you have a chance, you need to come to one of those. Last year's was one of the largest they had. They're expecting a larger crowd this year. My rooms
year?
Are all. This year it's in Hollywood, Florida. It's
oh.
on the it's the weekend of July 10th.
Okay.
And the girls actually start flying in on the 3rd of July. They're there all week for photo shoots and primos with sponsors and that. They'll start doing the photos for the new calendar 2011 at that time. They have the best damn sports show with John Sally and Rose.
It's Rose.
And that they're all there. They'll have poolside chats and everything. It's really a big deal.
Well, it sounds like I said, it's more organized than most things I've seen out there, and it's certainly got a following online. As a smattering on any one of these these social media platforms would reveal. So enjoy yourself and. In Australia with the Hooters girls, that sounds like a vacation. That should be some kind of a prize you win for doing something. But you got there the hard way, and maybe we'll cross paths. And like I said, I'll be down there in Tarpon Springs from the 18th to the 22nd. So if you feel like venturing out from the Panhandle, that's where I'll be. So make sure you drive me that email with your snail mail address, and we'll get you the pic of Shannon.
Yeah, what was your email again, Mark?
It's Naked Soma. So
naked.
And then SOMA @gmail.com.
@gmail. Okay. I got it.
All right. Thanks
for
joining us.
Thanks
tonight.
A lot.
Keep
yep.
Listening.
God bless you and great continued success.
Thanks a lot, Chuck. And good luck to you.
Say hi to Shannon when she comes on.
Oh, I will. Definitely. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye. All right. Well, we got that contest done, and we got a little interview out of it, too. All right, so there you go. So I guess I kind of let the cat out of the bag there a little earlier this afternoon, and who knew we were going to get this guy, a nice guy, calling in. I don't know. If you retire and this is heaven, I think a lot of people would fill out the application. I didn't know they didn't have 500 restaurants, though. That's a stat I didn't know. That there was more than that, because one of the things that came out of the interview that we did with Shannon last night that we'll air again at the top of the hour was they have 17,000 waitresses working in their restaurants. So that's a lot of restaurants, it would seem, or a lot of part-timers, I guess. That's why to rise to the ranks and become, someone that's featured in these contests, it's a little bit like a roving casting call, I guess, in a way. So anyway... to get back to my topic at hand, as I got off on a Hooters rant there. All right, I got to let this guy on. All right, here's your 2 minutes of grace. Well, joining us now from an undisclosed location in Westchester County, we have Tom DiCicco. And here he is. Welcome to summertime, I say, with trepidation.
Thank you very much there, Dr. Mark. It's a pleasure
right.
to be with you this glorious evening, early spring, even though they're
mm-hmm.
going to bring on the daylight savings time about a month too early.
That's right.
Fact of the matter is, what was that?
That
what
was the
contest.
I won.
You know, I mean, it's like, you know, no offense, but he's the greatest guy in the world. I mean, you know me
yeah.
very well. He might be the, you know, the best person, you know. Where did you get the tree person from? I mean, it's like,
don't hate on Chuck.
No. It's like, okay, to be a groupie for Hooters, it's very
no,
nice.
Who knows what he's doing before? But the whole point was that social media worked. We dropped the pebble in the pond at about 5:30 this afternoon. And said, the first person that calls up that knows this girl's hometown and votes for her in the contest gets a free picture. And basically, what do you think his domain was? Hello.
Philo.
Yes. So there you go.
But he's, like, retired, and she's, like, what, 17? I don't even know. I mean, you know,
he's
it's 19. Like...
No, I don't even think it's about the girls. I think it's just about, like he says, he likes to be around this environment. And he's got a, you know, he has a, you know, one-click... connection with the CEO. That's not a bad crowd to hang out with.
Well, no, absolutely. You know, it's like, to me, it's like he was discussing it as though it was like a number-crunching business, which, of course, I really, I appreciate that because I do that all the time because in the crummy business I work in, it's like I have to watch every, like, last thing that goes in and out of the door just to make sure that we actually have a job. But it's... But
Simon Dairy, for those keeping score at home, located in Tarrytown, New York.
No, please.
If you want your milk,
don't,
time's your man.
Please stop. You know, it's the back.
No more snowstorms to worry about, though.
Don't, please, don't, you know, go down that road and whatnot. Don't disclose what I do. The fact that, I mean, because you never know. I mean, I might be working for Don Corleone, for all you know.
That's right.
I mean, seriously, but the fact that...
Tom has many vocations.
I mean, it's like the man has it down to a science.
Who does?
This gentleman that you...
Oh, yeah, well, he's made a second career for himself. That sounds like a pretty well-funded hobby.
Is he making money on it?
I didn't ask him that. I wasn't going there.
Because, I mean, if he isn't, then, you know, you want some backing. Maybe I can actually use this guy and we can make some money on it. I mean,
well, there you go. So I think his nickname is Hooters Hooters Chuck or something. I can get that for you right here.
Who's
keep track of such things?
Who's the juvenile that's coming on that's going to actually be the Hooters girl? I mean, what's her name?
The Shannon Bakel.
Oh, Shannon.
Yeah, of course. You know Shannon Bakel. No one knows who she is now, but you might in a year or so, because she's actually got some talent, other than standing around in a Hooters uniform.
No, I've only Did you ever go to a Hooters? I mean, I went to
one. Are you kidding? I when I got my chiropractic license, I celebrated there. That was the goal.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
his name is Charles, and then his last name is Tom, T-H-O-M-M-E-N.
Well, that's very nice.
There you go. Coming out of Florida there.
I sat back and I, you know, panhandle, right? You said, you know.
Yeah, the panhandle.
Alligators, you know, clan, you know, the weird sort of stuff.
I'm not sure what type of home he has.
That's where, like, you know, the guys from, that's like the point of the movie where the guys from Easy Rider got killed. Okay,
maybe.
I understand. Okay.
There you go.
I just systematic. I mean, this guy was, like, talking from the board of directors, and I was just, like, wondering... Exactly.
He's got a military background. That's the way he organizes things in his brain. Let's leave it be.
Well, no, it's wonderful. You know,
I'm glad you approve. Tom approves of this message.
Well, I approve of everything. It's like, you know, to me, you
well,
know me. I mean,
you should.
Like, I'm the one who sits in a bar and there's two naked girls next to me and there's another one smoking something and I'm sitting there watching the Civil War documentary, so it doesn't make a difference. I mean, I don't really
that
care.
Would be the topic of another show.
Yes, it shall.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, man. Thanks for calling in.
You have a good night now. Enjoy
your life.
We've balanced
the universe with you two back to back.
Just be careful. Really,
oh, I'm always careful.
Take care.
All right, man. Take care. All right. There goes Tom. I have two calls in a row. I'm almost drunk with attention here at the Soma time. Anybody else want to chime in before we get to the Soma news? It's 646-478-4847 to get on the air. And, again, I'm open line right now because I'm going to try and go back to the topic I started. I was going to dip in on this Rangers-Devil game, but it's 6-3 Devils late in the third period here, and it's just been an atrocious effort by the Rangers. They finally got a little offense. They haven't been scoring goals lately. If you follow me with the hockey, you know, I'm still getting over the gold medal loss. I'm still mourning that, you know. And this is all, to me, all this Ranger pain that I'm in, all this hockey pain I'm in, is just grist for the mill to prepare for the Mets season that will be starting soon as various players are getting their organs assessed and things like that. But then, we did discuss this the other night on the New York Baseball Digest show, also featured on the Blog Talk Radio Network, so you can check that out. Or you can just go to the site, and we got the link up there for you on somaspace.org. Listen back to that. You want to learn about thyroiditis and hyperthyroids and all that things. Anyway, I want to get back to this TV thing, but first, I feel the need to do a little Soma news. So I have a new theme that I found, courtesy of Jeanette Skyer, who's out there somewhere. Right, let's see, where is the song? I see it here. I got to reboot. Let's see, reload. Said it went through. Oh, there it is. I just saw it. Hello. All right. The new Soma News theme song. Here you go.
I'm about to rip some.
Hold it. Why is it so loud? Let's try it again. A little softer now. That's soft enough, huh? 9:27 here on the East Coast. Can you believe this thing? There's a lot of things in this world that just don't work, and one of them is this damn thing. And the Devils have won the game.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
There you go.
Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're gonna have to send me home, 'cause I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
All right, here we go with a little Soma news. As we bandy about with this dopey health care bill waste of time, Congress considers adding the student loan bill to the health care mix. All right, from Corey Bowles, Dow Jones Newswires, Dateline, Washington. House Democratic leaders are mulling the addition of a measure. Mulling, I love the word. They're mulling. The addition of a measure that radically shakes up the plan to use to conclude the health care overhaul. In recent days, the idea of adding a sweeping higher education legislation to the second of two health care bills is starting to gain some steam. Republican George Miller from California, chairman of the House Education and Labor Committee, said the chances are pretty good. Miller said the issue was discussed extensively in a meeting Tuesday between House and Senate leaders. The matter is expected to be considered further at another leadership meeting later today, Wednesday. Miller has been the main House champion for the education bill and has strongly advocated its central feature of ending this private stuff through the government-backed program. He's also a close ally of Nancy Pelosi in California, makes sense. For Miller, using the fast-track procedure known as reconciliation is probably the best chance to see the education overhaul. It's been held up in the Senate over concerns of a large number of moderate Democrats who oppose to ending this. Using reconciliation, of course, only requires 51 votes rather than the supermajority 60 garbage we've been dealing with. And, you know, that's why nothing's getting done. House Democratic leaders also hope that by adding the education bill to the health care vehicle, let me just stuff it all in there, they might win support from the left-leaning House Democrats. The problem is that the moderates in the Senate have concerns about student lending health care bill combinations if the health care legislation is attached. They can't get past the abortion thing. They're going to stuff the student stuff in there. All right. Several senior Democratic aides said on Wednesday, it's too difficult at this stage to conclude whether adding education will successfully conclude the health care overhaul efforts. About a dozen Senate Democrats expressed concern. I guess that's kind of under the umbrella of mulling. about one aspect or another of the student loan overhaul. As recently as Tuesday, six moderate lawmakers signed a letter detailing their unease. Now they're writing down their moles. That plan would prohibit private involvement in the origination of student loans, replacing them with direct loans to students, which compete with more limited roles to service the loans after they're made. I have no idea what that says. I really don't. In most recent estimate, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimated the proposal would generate $67 billion in grants for low-income students. The savings estimate considerably reduces from the original forecast of $94 billion when the policy was final. So there you go. That's the bill that's on the hill, so to speak. So there's your health care news as we wind away. Now, next Wednesday on the St. Paddy's Day edition of Some Time, we're going to be really digging deep into this healthcare thing, because the next day supposedly is when the vote goes down. So hopefully we'll get some political type on here to straighten it out for us and sift and sort. Maybe we'll get some political chiropractic type, since we're such pagans. And we'll also hopefully get the professor, pagan herself, Professor Val, to come on and explain us about St. Patrick himself. And, you know, we might be imbibing that night and have a little fun on the air here. As we prepare for our trip south, like I was telling Chuck there, for the big Brain Pick Festival in Tarpon Springs, Florida, coming up the end of next week. I might even read my abstract on the air before we get off the air tonight, because I'm really feeling kind of saucy about it, based on what I'm about to talk to you about right here. Television. We started talking about it before, right? It is a weird animal in the sense that it's been around for a long time. Goes back to the 30s. You imagine that? The 30s. You know, you saw the movie Contact. Like, the first real broadcast was the Berlin Olympics. How weird is that? All right? Now, and you go all the way forward. So just kind of fudge it a little bit. Say it's 1930. That's 80 years. This medium has been around, which is kind of strange. When you think about all the things that have come along to accessorize it, replace it, you know, extend it, decentralize it, it sticks there, right in the middle, like the sun. And it resists a lot of overhaul, because it has, the basic premise of it is you get to sit still and watch this box. I have mine's right in front of me. This TV's on right now. Some guy's shaking his fist. You know, there's just a lot of action, and it kind of draws a lot of attention. And, you know, because of its nature, because of the way it's designed, it has a tendency to put you in a little bit of a trance, because you got to look at one spot. You ever watch people in the airport? They'll miss their damn plane watching some stupid thing on CNN. Bong. You know, dentist office. Bong. You know, barbershop. Bong. Everybody's into it. Now, I'm guilty of it as well as anybody else, but the difference is when you're somatically aware, you don't let your head go where your body isn't. You know, you're going to stay connected, and that's one of the differences that I think I can offer you to get around this and make television into a form of biofeedback for yourself. You might as well. You're watching the damn thing anyway in numbers that can't even be counted anymore. So I just wanted to lead into this discussion, because we're going to go to the safe find here in a minute and see what the experts say about this. But first, as a little commercial for my OVI woo letter, I did a little Do Media clip on this on Sunday. If you didn't catch it over the weekend, this is OVI 13, so somaspace.org/OVI13.html if you keep it score at home. Otherwise, just go to the homepage and click through. It's not that complicated. Here you go. We got something here that kind of explains a little bit about this, and maybe we'll get into a little, we're going to bridge this a little bit with some of the stuff we found from Eric Qualman's site, and then we'll listen to a little bit of what David Hickey says about it. He's a scary dude. And I'm going to give you the answer, how to get around this stuff. So here's a little summary of how television actually has saturated our minds in the last, maybe, oh, I don't know, 30, 40 years. And like I said, the clip's over there on somaspace.org, but I will give you the gist of it right now. You might remember this.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressmen because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
You might want to ask yourself why the entire culture is utterly saturated with mass media entertainment from all sides, while the educational system in America continues its stupefying downward slide since the U.S. government decided to take over and subsidize the public school system.
What your government pays for, it gets. When we understand that, then we look at government-financed institutions of education and see the kind of students and the kind of education that's being turned out by these government-financed schools. Logic will tell you that if what is being turned out in those schools was not in accord with what the state and the federal government wanted, then it would change it. The bottom line is that the government is getting what they have ordered. They do not want your children to be educated. They do not want you to think too much. That is why our country and our world has become so proliferated with entertainments, mass media, television shows, amusement parks, drugs, alcohol, and every kind of entertainment to keep the human mind entertained so that you don't get in the way of important people by doing too much thinking. You had better wake up and understand that there are people who are guiding your life and you don't even know it.
We're in a lot of trouble because you people and 62 million other Americans are listening to me right now, because less than 3% of you people read books, because less than 15% of you read newspapers. Because the only truth you know is what you get over this tube. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube is the gospel, the ultimate revelation. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls in the hands of the wrong people. And when the largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what shit will be peddled for truth on this network. So you listen to me. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion.
Wow.
Heavy.
But real. Oh, saucy real. Now, look around you this week, right? This Congressman Massa guy basically tried to use television to save his
image, and he did nothing but bury himself. Bury himself on it. He went on the Beck show and looked like a horse's patoot, and then he goes on Larry King and basically seals the deal. Why do we rely on this dopey box for anything more than what he just said? Why is entertainment so intoxicating? Because it takes us away from the pain of living this life, which is every day it gets more difficult to do because there's some other dimwit that has shut off their heads and given into this stuff. And the minute you tell them information that doesn't come from the tube, they look at you, oh, conspiracy. You must be a whack job. And that's why I really think the stuff that comes out of the hamper, so to speak, of doing this somatic stuff for the last 15 years is really about restoring a kind of a visceral or a gut sense of what's sane. Because what I see is distortion. Well, it used to be you went to the funhouse, you looked in that little funhouse mirror, and you knew, oh, okay, it's not a regular mirror. It's distorted. And I could see it. But somehow when you sit in front of a television, it's a flat screen. Literally, a flat screen. But we don't see the distortions. We don't see the way things are biased. We don't see the way things are slanted. We don't see the way that things are torqued to grip you and grab you and get you to do stuff. The way the music goes up a little higher in the commercials. The way they use colors like orange and brown to make you hungry. The way they pace the music in and out. The way when they discuss a murder, they go, dun, dun, dun. You know, all that soap opera-like aesthetics. Rushkoff, my friend, he calls it atmospherics. Same crap they use in a casino. Same crap they use at Crate and Barrel to get you to buy, buy, buy. And then they scare the crap out of you. Consumption and fear. Consumption and fear. And they can get a lot of people, 300 million plus, to do a lot of things like a pack of sheep. That's why we all herd off to Walmart. That's why we all run off to McDonald's. That's why we all go to the bowl game. I mean, George Carlin's been dead over a year or so, right? He's still laughing at us. Suckers. So this television thing, how do we get around it? Now, I'm going to give you the bad news first, then I'll give you a little of the good news, then I'll give you the solution. Because I am the Soma boy that has the social stress solutions down here that you won't hear on TV. They don't want to know it. If they ever did, the show would be over. See, one of the things about magic as a kid is that you watch the magic show and you're entertained. How did he do that? Wow, it was magic. And then when you learn the trick, you know, and you know that the girl's all stuffed up in one half and they saw her in half, fake feet in one end, the whole Daffy Duck routine. When you know that, then like the magic's over with, you know? So let's see. I guess I have to introduce this next bit with a little bit of my little friend here. Now I'm going to lower the volume down because this damn thing comes at me like it's screaming at me. But so how do we get past television? First, we have to know what it is. So to clarify that, I'll turn to my expert in this category, SpongeBob.
Squidward, we don't need television. Not as long as we have our imagination.
That's right. Hey, I got to hear that one again. That's just too... I said make these clips. And it's for my entertainment, but as well as yours, but here you go.
Squidward, we don't need television. Not as long as we have our imagination.
Okay. So along those lines, let's turn back the clock to when we didn't have President Obama to kick around. And we had another president that was, let's just say, a little less tuned in, as it were. Let's see what he had to say and how we can get around this TV thing together. So first, a word from our 42nd, or was it the 43rd? Yeah, 43rd president.
A major U.S. Daily story about subliminal messages. I don't think we need to be subliminal.
Television is a massive, massive mass hypnotist to the global mind. And what happens is, it is implanting a belief in reality by the minute, and then once we take on that belief implanted, when information enters the eyes, we edit it on the basis of that belief. And so what the global population is suffering from, is actually literally mass hypnosis. And when we talk about people who kind of start to see things and see the manipulation they couldn't see before, what do we say about them? What do they say about themselves? They say, I woke up. Exactly what they've done. When people start to go, hey, I can see it now, it's like someone has gone along, like the hypnotist, and clicked their fingers, and it's like, oh, I can see it now. Mass hypnosis. And that is the greatest hypnotist on the planet, and that's the basis of why it was created.
A 49-year-old unidentified man went berserk last night.
Where does she get her view of the world?
Shotgun, 14 people are dead, including three.
What would be her role model?
Never been a better time to buy.
What values will she have? Whose child is she? Yours or the network's? Take back your children. Turn off the TV.
And when you start to research the subliminals in advertising and television, what staggers you is not, I mean, what they do and what's there, but the scale of it. I mean, it's like our consciousness is being hit by an explosion of this stuff. Because, you see, this is another interesting point. Experiments have shown that about 1.5 seconds before the conscious mind decides to take action, move its arms or whatever, speak, 1.5 seconds before it consciously decides to do that, the electrical signals have begun in the brain to do it. For me, the conscious level is the experiencer and observer of reality, but the subconscious is the creator of it, the generator of it. And we want the subconscious mind through subliminals. What does subliminal mean? It means below threshold. It's below the threshold the conscious mind picks up, but the subconscious mind picks everything up like a sponge. And therefore, they are planting these thoughts.
Like a sponge.
Subconscious, which then filter down into the conscious, and we think we're having our own thoughts, when actually they're implanted thoughts done at a subliminal level. This is being used. This subliminal manipulation.
Not as long as we have our imagination.
During the Bush-Gore farce of an election, when an anti-Gore political for Bush, they put a subliminal in of rats while they were talking, but they left it up too long, and you only had to play the tape back slowly, a little slowly, and up come rats as some anti-Gore statement was being made.
So that's David Icke's. Now that comes from a website called eruptingmind.com. Fascinating stuff. Gets into that specter again of the Illuminati, and, you know, I'm not going to say one thing or another about that right now, because they might be listening. Hi, guys. But for the most part, when you really back up and see the regulation and the dissemination of information and misinformation that goes on in the culture, that television is basically pumping out 24/7, and you see how it really herds behavior through, a lot of what he's saying is you know, spot on accurate. But the thing is that it's too damn scary. Because what do you do when you know this? Where do you go? Everybody else buys into it. You know, it's like going back, you know, before Columbus, when everybody was a flat earther. And you're going, you know, I don't believe that. I think it's round. I don't know, Dewey. Why don't you get a boat and find out? Oh, it's the fancy with the boat. And you can't prove it. The same thing with this is that so many people are switched off and basically just giving themselves into this stuff, that to get awake and conscious is to be declared insane, conspiracy, fringe person, and they single you out. Now, there's so much out there in the media now that likes to feed that energy, and there's a lot of people out there listening that have the tinfoil on the head, you know, and they're looking for the mothership. That takes it to another degree. But the fact that you even have any
gumption to question this crap and say, what are we doing here? We're going in circles, is enough to get you tagged. And if you go to my friend NSM Doc over there on YouTube, we might have to go dig up a quote from him this week, because YouTube, another tube, right? That's pumping out information from us, the listeners. What's happened in the last 25 years or so with television is that it's become interactive, two-way communication, like the telephone, right? Now, when you start adding in these dynamics that have come up in the last 4 or 5 years with social media, now you have a way to have constant communication. You take that to an iPhone, you take that to all the other levels of being able to tweet, being able to text, and all the other things. We have constant conversation going on now, most of it disposable, most of it repetitive, most of it just a lot of noise. But in there is a signal that's emerging through. And the thing is all this interaction helping us, or is it just burying us in a lot of froth, a lot of nothing? How do you see through the fog? All right, well, first you got to see the fog. So here you go. Eric Qualman, our little expert here, he's probably taller than me, that attacks this thing from the standpoint of trying to participate and enhance it. And he actually has a very, sunny side up look at social media, that it's actually going to regulate behavior, because you can't get away with anything anymore if everybody's watching you. But why are they watching you? I could have used you guys on my state board in New York State when they walked away to go fix the clock. And I almost got myself, basically dismembered because I yelled at the proctors, is anybody watching me? Well, they're watching me. Oh, they're watching me now. So let's see. Qualman here, he has a little piece on his site about a TV example of social media. So he says, over the last year, this is back on February 15th, over the last year he started to see many TV commercials that mentioned social media and put a little funny line in it, right? So then he has a clip where Norm's Restaurant, who knows what Norm's Restaurant is, uses both Facebook and Twitter. And it's, hey, take a listen to this. So I lower it down to 70 for the...
I'm starving for a Norm's juicy California burger.
I know, right?
What's up with the family?
Norm!
Fans of Norm.
Sweet.
Become a Norm's Facebook fan for updates and exclusive offers.
I'll get your drinks while you take a look at the menu.
What's up with that guy?
Well, that's just another one of Norm's followers.
Follow Norm's on Twitter for updates and exclusive offers. Norm's Restaurants, where life happens 24/7.
There you go. We're a little over a month removed from the Super Bowl, where most of the ads went to the internet, and you saw, big companies like Pepsi not even invest in a Super Bowl commercial, because why bother? We have social media that just spreads the message 24/7. We don't have to pay for that airtime on that tube. We can use other tubes like YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. So, Qualman asked the guy that runs the place, I guess it's a woman here that's answering the question, spokesperson here, I don't know what her role is here, that made this commercial for them. So the foundation of the commercial is grounded in social media rather than simply being an add-on. So now we're seeing a crossover where social media is the feature of the commercial. It's the hook. Came up with the idea to actually create and produce Facebook and Twitter spots, not just tag spots, to join us. We wanted the spots to truly define and reflect what Facebook and Twitter are and what they're all about in a personal and humorous way. We believe that this strategy would also drive more people to join us because the spots are unique, engaging, and attention-getting, not just the tag, in which most people don't pay attention to anymore. Most people don't pay attention to slogans and tags anymore. They go right by you like a cross-town bus. What we pay attention to is engagement. What we pay attention to is inclusion, because most of your philo brains are so sticky, you just want to be part of the club. So, hey, gotta be a Norm's Facebook guy. I'll get specials. I'll get a carrot. And you go. You go like lemmings. The commercials run regionally. Norm's is a family-owned restaurant with several restaurants in Southern California. The family started their small business 60 years ago. A long way. Media-wise, and then promoting these little restaurants, right? This family-owned business has seen the following success within 10 days of those TV commercials. 1,000 more fans on Facebook. 1,000. How long it takes to get 1,000 fans on Facebook normally? 150 followers on Twitter. All right? 150 followers on Twitter who might be connected to thousands of other people who wouldn't even know what Norm's is. Now they're in California. They're going to look for it. So just as social media never sleeps, Norm's restaurants never close. They're open 24 hours a day. At the end of the day, which doesn't end at Norm's, social media celebrates life in real time, which is a great fit for Norm's restaurants and the tagline, where life happens 24/7. It's an all-night diner, for God's sakes. All right. Oh, here's Paige. She's the president of Black Lab Productions. She did the commercial. Black Lab is in L.A. They're the ones behind the production and an integrated social media approach. Paige Gillenwater. Might be calling her about my site soon. Paige, I need help. Paige went on to explain that the strategy of the spot stays intact with the holistic and personal approach we're taking with our social media campaign. I like the way they slip in the word holistic. It's good for you. Social media, it's like a vitamin. With these spots, our Facebook and Twitter pages, our YouTube channel, the Norm's blog, and our traditional TV campaign all running at once, we're deeply penetrating the market. Ooh, there's a sexual overtone coming from Norm's. I'll have the bun. What I like about this is that it's incorporating into their entire strategy and staying true to what Norm's is all about. It's also taking a longer-term engagement approach rather than focusing on immediate gratification. Perhaps it's a reflection of the family's 60-year history. You take a look at the Facebook fan page and you see the recent interactions. Had Valentine's dinner at Norm's. It's my favorite place. Great place. It's the first restaurant I went to when I moved to L.A. back in the 80s. And a friend who passed away took me there. I love your food. Yada, yada. The other thing I like about Norm's is that they respond quickly to posts, no matter what time they happen. Would love it if you carried Tabasco sauce. Norm's. Hi, we do carry. Did you ask for it and they didn't have it for you? Stop by Norm's in Downey this morning at 2 a.m. Good old barbecued steak and eggs. Yum. Nothing like a 2 a.m. T-bone steak, says Norm. Norm and Black Labs are off to a good start integrating social media with an overall small business strategy and culture. So what I'm getting at here is that we're uploading our normal offline life that doesn't have a lot of gadgets and widgets and stuff between it. We're taking these conversations to the sky, and we're making that the currency, the conversation, not the marketing, not the pitch, not the gadgets, not the sales, not the bells and whistles that TV does to get your attention, but that, Tabasco sauce. Can you imagine? This Borg is going to respond to you and say, yeah, we got Tabasco sauce. So it becomes like you, like television did. The social media is reflecting you, and the more you see you, the more you want to go to it. But you got to wake up. You got to see for what it is. So without further ado, before we get to our interview here at 10 o'clock, I'm going to give you the solution here in a couple of minutes. Dun, 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 dun. I need a little song for this. Oh, I can't do the Olympic update. That's gone. I need a song here for this. To introduce my little solution here before we play our friend's... No, I can't do that. All right, this is good. Probably too loud. That's all right. There you go. All right. So what I want to introduce to you tonight is a strategy I call somatic cinema. Now, if you read my book, The S List, which, again, is on somaspace.org, it takes you right through the way your brain enters the world every day, what's called the somatic cinema, which is the way you witness the world. Just like Icky's was talking about, subconscious is sort of the projectioneer, sort of the you know, behind the scenes, and then you are in the audience as the conscious experiencer of this movie called life that you're starring in. So, just to begin, and we're going to get to our interview here, we'll couple minutes after 10, but it's okay, it's canned. It's in a can, man. Is that when you sit in front of a television, or you sit in front of your computer monitor, or you're looking at your iPhone, or you're in the movie theater itself, you're in an environment. You're at that point, you're in a conversation between self and other. All right? And as I explain a lot of times, you define self by not just you. It's you and everyone that interacts with you. So there's a two-way conversation going on there, right? So that's what makes this thing so compelling overall. So the first step in getting yourself engaged on a somatic level is realizing you're in a physical environment. And that physical environment has dimensions and has experiences that you're not going to focus on very, very long, because once you get comfortable in your seat, once you get comfortable in your conversation, that goes away. Okay, so the first step is called the exophase, which is outside the soma. So your attention's on the physical atmosphere, whatever environment you're in, living room, theater, whatever, right? You pay attention to the contact you're making with the ground, with the seat, with the couch, the physical, I'm in the theater. And you do this all automatically. You blow it off. So it's a great window. You pose to yourself, okay, this is what I'm here for right now. You got a little bubble before the movie starts, a little bubble before you get to see the game start or whatever it is you're going to be engaging in, right? So you get yourself, it's almost like a batter getting in a batter's box. You get yourself into the physical environment. Movies are unique, and TV too, because you can process emotions that you wouldn't normally talk about with other people. That's why people go to these tearjerkers. They see these horribly depressing movies like A Single Man. I've got nothing but horrible reports about that movie as far as an experience goes. You know, I saw Alice in Wonderland last weekend with the 3D glasses. It's an environment. That's why entertainment is so intoxicating. I told you before, it puts you in an environment you wouldn't normally be in. And TV and movies are a way to put you in that environment by yourself where you don't have to deal with the world. You can just get into all your feelings that you wouldn't even discuss with yourself. So if you're attracted to the tearjerkers, if you're attracted to the action movies, if you're attracted to the comedies, those are usually the experiences you're not having on a regular basis out in the world. So you go to this, you know, artificial, virtual, whatever you call it, environment and do that. That's the exophase. We choose that experience because it consists of things that we're lacking mostly in our everyday lives. That's why it's a diversion. It's candy. Recognize that. That's the exophase. Then you have the ontophase, ontosomatic, onto myself. You let go of the literal world at this point. You don't care what's happening, when it's happening, or why it's happening. You're watching a movie. You're into the game. You're walking to someone, and they're into a football game, and you step in front of the TV to say, the house is on fire. Get out of the way. The game's on. You know, they're invested. They're hooked, okay? And the Onto world is all about vertical priorities. It's just me. There is no other. You've merged with it. It's gotcha. All right? So what happens in this phase is the internal dialogue starts to rise in you, and you start to develop that conversation within yourself. You're following this thing. You're unfolding. You're tuning in. And what happens is your breathing changes. Your energy levels change. The bodily tension shift. The inner voice gets more active as the movie progresses or the event unfolds, and you start getting into this dynamic. It really engages you, just like a book used to do, but it's too slow now. We need that visual feeding us. Another feature of this phase is how hungry or thirsty you get, because it's manipulating all those gastrointestinal juices and your heart's getting into it. The snacks you use to relax or charge you up, the soda, the hot dogs, the beer, all the things you do to get yourself back in your body. It comes up because what happens a lot is that you get excited and all the blood's in your arms and legs, and then it drains out to the next scene. You go, oh, my God, all this sloshing around in the blood. I'm just sitting in a chair. It's one of the things why the seventh inning stretch in a baseball game's about. Right? It's to get you up and moving around, get you back physically engaged and realize that you're in an experience that's extended from you, but how do you get it hooked into your system again? The onto phase does it. How long can you hold that? One of the things I experienced a lot in movie theater is my bladder goes,
we've had enough, Philippi. Could you please take a break?
And it's a way for me to know I'm overshooting the runway, I'm getting too far into the movie, and I'm getting too far away from the real world, and my bladder will pull me back and say, hey, go take a pee. So that's the onto phase. Those two phases are completely visual. One's external and one's internal. All right. The exo phase is I'm in a movie theater, everything's outside me. The onto phase is everything's inside. What's going on in here? How do I match up the visuals I'm experiencing out here with the ones that are coming up inside my body that are saying, what does this mean? What does this mean? I'm trying to derive meaning from this all this stuff that's going on around me. Then you cross over to the eco side. All right. And on the eco side, now they're coming down the wave. You've set aside the physical environment. You've set aside your own physicality. You're absorbed in the movie world, and you're entering into this phase. Now, the movies will go from, like I always think of Jaws. Like, you get into it right from the outset. Your task in the eco phase is to get very observant of how there's shifts in things, in the environment you're in. Light, dark, temperature, emotion, consciousness, dream sequences, flashback, timeline stuff. That's what's impacting your attention. Do that in normal conversation. Do that on the phone. Do that when you're typing an email. Where is this going? What am I doing? How am I creating it? Because it is, in a sense, this is now a very abstract thing you're doing, because a bunch of lights flickering on a wall or out of a tube should not be giving you this much meaning, but you're creating it. So pay attention to that part, the emotions that come up. This is what you did this for. That's the payoff. Then the last phase, the philo phase, Now you get into the characters. Now you get into the. Now you're focusing on the storyline. You identify with some of the characters. You don't identify with other ones. You feel the rise and the fall of their arc, all that stuff. You also have the emotional reactions to the fate of the film. So many people, you know, get this is what cinema therapy is about, and that's where you handle life's drama. People turn to television, talk shows, all these things to handle the crises in their life on an extended level, fear. All that stuff. They turn to the news to get reassured, and they get more frightened. It goes around like a loop, right? So you got to read on the degree and extent that the film moved you, right? A great film will leave you in a state of total exhaustion. When I was just talking with Tom before the show about Capitalism, the movie Capitalism from A Love Story from Michael Moore. I was in that chair for 10 minutes after the movie was over. I couldn't get out. I was just totaled, just drained. And that's a good tired. So you return to your everyday awareness when that phase is over and it kind of dissipates. It takes you about 20, maybe sometimes up to 90 minutes to really process a movie that emotionally carries you like that. So that's the solution for all these visual mediums is you go through these phases. You get into the physical environment externally first, the physical environment internally second, then you get into the emotional external, and then the emotional internal. And if you do that, if you want a little riff on this, pop me an email at nakedsoma@gmail.com. And I will guide you through the somatic cinema. Or you could just go read our friends over at the Who's This Watts? Who's This Watts? I'm losing my mind. Wait a minute. Brain stops. Oh, at my site, at somaspace.org, that's the S-List book. All right, before I completely lose my mind here, we're going to get our guest on here from Digital Land. And as usual, Flippy has not uploaded it, so we're going to take a minute to do that while we vamp. I will leave you with some music to listen to here, and we'll go get that. God, is that too loud? How about that? Can you do that? Can you do that? Thank you. Stinky boots. All right. Our guest is going to be Shannon Buckel, who we interviewed last night, as I said, about her experience coming up the ranks in the Hooters world. I'm still looking for it. It might be simpler just to hold the damn thing next to the phone here because I really lost it. This thing is just not uploading. And it's a 20-minute interview, so we'll definitely play all of it. And I don't really care if it goes over time. What are you doing to me? Let's see. This thing says it uploaded. All right. I will continue. I'll go back here. See, this is the part of the show where you wish you had help. Help is not on the way. No, this is my own doing. I take the rap for this. I'll be like Massa. It's my fault. You guys tuning in late to hear Shannon. She'll be on in a second.
if I have to go fetch it out of my own situation here. I think I might have to. I might have to. It's not working. Well, I'm not doing that. All right. We have a little bit of a technical disaster here. All right, come on. Three times I've been through trying to... You should have seen us trying to get on the free line last night just to get this stupid thing, you know, to get to the phone line to record the thing. It's just not... It's not going through. It says it's there. I think... I tell you what. Let me try this. Let me try this. Let me try this. Oh, my God. I uploaded it, and it's not there. So I'm going to try this. I'm going to try a new switchboard, see? You got to be like your own production vehicle, your own board op. All right, let's see. Did this work? No, of course not. Got nothing. All right, we're going to have to go a little bit rogue here tonight. And I will have to actually sit here for 20 minutes and hold it to the phone because of the illustrious Blog Talk Radio. Most reliable thing in the world here, this dopey thing. But we will hear Shannon and her interview in its entirety, and I will alert the streamers that we'll be going overtime by a minute or two. We should have been on the air 10 minutes ago with this. All right. Open with, we'll go with Real Player. All right. So without further ado, well, there'll be some ado. There's a little... Flask goes by me here. One last check. Why wouldn't it? I have no idea why it wouldn't make it over there in a minute or two. Let's see. Oh, there it is. Perfect. All right. So without further ado, here is our interview with Shannon Bacow. Okay. Joining me through the magic of No Cost Conference here is the lovely and talented Shannon Bacow from Hooters, and she is a Dream Girl contestant that has just reached the semifinals. So for all you guys out there, we're going to go over how to get her, you know, through this, and I think I just read on Facebook that if you get to this next round, you get to go to Aspen, Colorado, so welcome to Somatime.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, we both just spent about 5 minutes getting onto this this conference line, so If you guys are listening live on the show Wednesday night, just we're very persistent, so we did this, you know, out of the need and the desire to get the message out here. So
I worked hard to make this happen.
Yes, we both dialed our fingers bloody here. Yeah. So well, I don't know. You've had an interesting day. Just if you guys haven't been following Shannon's adventures on Facebook like I have, you know, last couple of days. You know, she's had an interesting year. Now, just to give you guys familiar with her, you're originally from the Chicago area, so let's just give you guys basically a 30-second sort of who are you kind of thing so people know who we're dealing with here.
Oh, okay. Yes. Hi. My name is Shannon Bacow, and I actually grew up in Schaumburg, Illinois, which is the suburb just outside of Chicago, and Schaumburg is the Hooters store that I originally came from, and that's how it all began.
Now, you're all of what? You're 19, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I am a baby.
Yeah, okay.
I've
got T-shirts that old, that's all I'm saying. So your career, and we're going to, you know, it spans about 10 years now on stage, and you've been... You know, someone who's been honing a craft, and you're actually going to be getting your first taste of some featured. What do they call it now? It's a featured extra, and this week coming up in a movie, right?
Yes, yes. I have been working very hard out here in LA. I did move here recently in like January, and so far it's been pretty great. So just keeping myself busy, also keeping my fingers crossed that people are, you know, voting for me for this Hooters Dream Girl thing, because it would definitely be a really big help, because the winner actually gets $10,000, so that's pretty exciting.
Hey, nothing to sneeze at. So I guess to kind of fit into the topic here is that, you know, you're 19, now there's a lot of 19-year-old, you know, women around the country that would love to be in your shoes, and doing all this fancy stuff. So just for the audience's sake, I mean, you've been through a transformation that probably if you went back even 2 years, you know, would seem like a universe ago. So what's been the biggest difference between the image that you've created for yourself and what everybody knows when all the cameras are gone and you're just sitting around in your sweatpants watching TV, the real Shannon? Is there a big distinction, or have you been able to couple those two and really stay, you know, true to yourself because of your background and, you know, having been, you know, basically on stage since you were a kid?
Yeah, you know, honestly, just because I have been doing this for as long as I have been, I am, you know, fortunate enough to, you know, at a young age, be able to experience stuff like that, like this, and I'm the same person. You know, what you see on TV, the fun, lovable, big, smiling girl, that's still me in real life. You know, yes, there's a lot of makeup and hairspray through it all, but I'm still definitely me.
Now, this is another thing, I guess, because of being someone who's grown up in an internet age and been in this kind of connected world, you know, most of your life has been kind of on that sort of a medium. If you're a Hooters girl in 1995, can you hear me? Uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. No, I'm just thinking back of 1995.
Oh.
I was like,
oh, all right, yeah, no, it's like when dinosaurs roamed the earth. Yeah, so this is like the internet's about 15 years old. So if we go back about that amount of time, and you're a Hooters girl and that era, the way you got promoted wasn't through social media. We didn't have that as a mechanism back then, and everything was local, and it was contest after contest, almost like the way, you know, the old beauty contests work. And you don't have, you couldn't name 5 or 10, you know, Hooters girls. You couldn't distinguish them. It was just a sea of blonde and orange and white running around. And it was MTV that was the big vehicle for them back then. It was much more of a mainstream, you know, kind of a way of distributing the message. And now, from what I see, and I'm looking at it from Mars here, from my end of the spectrum, Hooters is a very methodical, very smart, slick operation that is embedded in almost every nook and cranny in social media. And they've made you guys into sort of internet stars because of these contests and because of these ways of bringing people through the ranks. And it's you know, like you're parlaying, you know, you're continuing your acting career through it. And it's something that's going to get you name recognition. It gets you on basically on a lot of things that if it was just you and your resume knocking on the door, it might not be as easy to open. But when Hooters is knocking on the door for you and you're using social media to do it, you know, Twitter, Facebook, things like that, your message goes farther and wider as an individual, and also, of course, because the brand is traveling right next to you, you've got that as a way of kind of, you know, steamrolling a lot of people and getting people to notice you. So how has that influenced your battle plan going forward as far as developing, you know Shannon Bacall as a person and in this world of entertainment? Is Hooters something that you feel partnered to, you know, from your history, or is Hooters something that you look at as a springboard and that you'll eventually become an alumni of that world? And I don't know, what's old for a Hooters girl? 25?
Well, Hooters is definitely, it's an absolutely amazing company. I mean, when I started working there, it's kind of a funny story. I began there actually as a host because I was 18, and you need to be 19 to serve alcohol. That's the rule for that area. But I thought that by the time I moved to L.A., I would be like a starving actress, and I would need to be that stereotypical waitress like how everybody else does it. So I started working at Hooters because I thought it was a very fun, upbeat type of atmosphere. And I got so many great opportunities out of it, and it's just carried me so far between the beginning with the pageant. Out of 133 gorgeous girls from around the world, I placed third runner-up, and this was my first time around. And from there, it has just absolutely catapulted me to, you know, such a level. Now I'm on TV, and I am one of 16 beautiful dream girls. And there are, gosh, I want to say like 17,000 Hooters girls that waitress for this company. And they picked 16 of us do this competition, and I was so fortunate to be one of them, and now even more fortunate to have made it to the semifinals.
Okay, so yeah, well, hey, we're almost there. Just to kind of give people perspective here, I mean, is this something they do once a year, these Dream Girl things, or is this something that they have contests all the time?
The Dream Girl, yes, that is once a year, just like the pageant. And everything's
okay,
sort of connected. But, yeah, there's so many different opportunities because I just started off with submitting my pictures into the, you know, the picture committee for the calendar. And after they liked my pictures, then they kind of went a step further and they're like, well, how is her, you know, personality, her stage presence? And they, you know, kind of came over to the store to check me out a little bit. And then that's how I, you know, got into the pageant.
Now, be honest, were you a great waitress or were you much more, you know, in it for the opportunity?
Oh, gosh. definitely, I feel I excel better in the promo area. I try really hard to be a great waitress. I mean, these girls, they're amazing. They could fit like a million plates all up and down their arms. I can get it about 2 in each hand, and that's the best I've got. But practice definitely makes perfect. So, needless to say, in the beginning, I was it was a little rough, but it's gotten better.
Well, so people have put up with you. If anyone's taken a look at you, believe me, you could drop the chicken wings on the floor 3 or 4 times. It's okay. But really. So these two contests, I mean, the pageant sounds like a much more drawn-out thing, and this one sounds like one that kind of goes along pretty quickly. So you said you were third runner-up. This was last year, right?
The pageant was in June.
Okay. So June is the pageant, and March is this Dream Girls thing. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what happens?
The round of voting ends March 12th, so Friday.
Okay. Yeah, this weekend. Okay, what's the graduation point? If you win one of these things, you know, and you have to have a crown, and they of course they're going to take advantage of whoever wins and put you on commercials and stuff like that. After like a year goes by, you can't go back and compete again, right? You're out of the pool, right? That's it.
You definitely can.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. The you know, it's endless. I would think.
So this is something you could be at 19. You could be, you know, kind of a regular.
I mean, there's girls that get so close, and they keep doing it. I mean, there are girls that have been competing for 4, 5, 6 years, and they just kind of keep going. I mean, as far as getting close, I don't know about the getting the crown and being Miss Hooters International. They usually go on to. Michelle Nunes, she was actually the spokesperson for this Fox reality, you know, the Best Damn Hooters Dream Girl show.
Right.
So, but there's definitely more opportunity after you get the crown for sure.
Wow. So
you know, I've still seen girls in the calendar after they've been international. So, yeah.
Do you have an independent modeling, you know, representative, all that stuff, or is it you guys are all in-house with and kind of contracted to Hooters as long as you're, you know, sort of in their world? You know, is it something that you could have both opportunities, like you got into acting and things like that? Do you have an agent just for stuff that's non-Hooters, and then there's a Hooters person, or do they handle everything?
Well, the Hooters stuff, that is all separate from what I've been doing mostly, because I've been doing all the commercials and TV and all that stuff for like 10 years, and then the Hooters stuff is just Hooters stuff, I guess. So it's still separated.
Okay, because this is one of those worlds where I'll never go. I mean, I can talk to you guys in it, but this is what I was talking about before, about the difference between the image that they create about these people and the identity that they actually have. And one of the things that I like about you is, like you said, is that because you are 19 and the system hasn't worn you down as much yet, you know, what do you make of someone like a Heidi Montag or, you know, some of the others that came up through the reality show ranks and got popular? As someone who's been in the business and seen this, you know, from backstage to the floodlights. What do you say about what's going on, like Lindsay Lohan today suing the E-Trade guys? How do you see entertainment Hollywood? Do you see it through, you know, the lens of someone who's you know, been basically in it as a kid and kind of knows that it's pretend? Or are you someone that thinks that, you know, certain people are going to fall into traps and there's ways of going through the maze without really, you know, getting sucked into the system so badly, like what's happened to, you know, some of these other people I mentioned?
Right, yeah, no, it is unfortunate for all those child stars that have gone through such craziness. And my mom even made me, God bless her, she made me stop the, you know, the headshots and everything going into high school so I was a normal freshman. And I personally didn't like it. It was my choice to get back into the game here. But, where I'm living right now is, it's not necessarily in the heart of Hollywood. So I know that, you know, even though the temptation, of course, is all around, it doesn't really make a difference for me because I've been doing this for so long. I know the goals that I have for myself in life, and I would like to achieve them in, you know, the right way and just not, you know, well, you know what I mean, just doing the wrong things and going down that kind of path is just, it's no good. And I've had enough experience of watching these people and their mistakes, and now I'll definitely know what not to do.
Well, you definitely got enough examples running around in L.A. out there. And, you know, you did have an unfortunate little fender bender today, but Brittany wasn't in sight, neither was Lindsay. So we're safe there.
Yeah, it was pathetic. My car just stops out of nowhere. I'm driving to Burbank, and it just stops. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is this?
Is this your car, or is this like a car you did when you got out there? This isn't some car some agent gave you. This is your car?
No, this is my car. It was previously owned, so it's an older car, but it's a super cute convertible, you know, so it works for me, but, yeah.
Decided to take a nap today driving to Burbank. Okay, well, hopefully you get it. It isn't too beat up, is it? They'll be just, you know, knock out a couple of quarter panels and you're good to go, or this is a bad accident?
Oh, gosh. Well, it's just a matter of, you know, some little things like an oil change and a new air filter. Thankfully, my neighbor, who knows a lot about cars, came over and kind of checked under my hood and is like, yeah, you know, just simple things that you need to have done. And there could be a number of reasons why your car died out. So I'll take it over to some kind of mechanic guy tomorrow. I don't even know where to begin with that.
Well, look, I'm sure
mechanic
you're always
has never been my strong point. Let's just leave it at that. I'm a girl. What do you expect?
Oh, okay. All right. We won't stereotype you too much. And, you know, I got a feeling you're always going to be able to get help on the side of the road or in a red-hot convertible looking like you. Just stay still long enough. There'll be 50, people go and get trained in being car mechanics to come help you. So I wouldn't worry about it. So, all right. Well, just let's wrap it up with well, you're welcome. Let's wrap it up with a little bit about where we can get you elected here, because we want to get you into this dream girl thing and get you out to Aspen and get you, for some reason, in a bikini in the snow. So where do we go to vote? How do we get in the contest?
Okay, you can go to foxsports.com/hooters, and on there is a bikini bracket. So, of course, there were 16 girls, but now, as you can see, it's narrowed down to 8 girls. And so I'm against Emma Cutts. Like, my picture is all the way on the bottom to the left. So you just click on my picture and click to vote. And, yeah, and then it'll say thanks for voting and all that fun stuff.
You can vote as much as you want, or is it one vote per person or what?
It is one vote per day per computer. So if you have 2 computers in the house and a laptop, vote on all of them, please.
And this goes on until Friday, right?
Yes, until Friday. Okay. And then it goes down to the final 4, and then we do the Aspen trip and all that fun stuff. And then the winner actually gets to be on the cover of the next issue of the Hooters magazine.
And I see you going against Emma here in this round, who's relentlessly marketing herself all over. So You know, we got to make sure you get past Emma. She's saturated my Facebook screen the last couple of days. So and then look at this. Wow, I'm looking at you. It's a bunch of you. Wow, I'm just looking at the contest here as I'm talking to you here. On your side of the bracket, there's three of you that are Ontos, and Emma is the only one who's not. She's a Philo, so no wonder she's hitting the friends up. Oh boy. But you get past this round, you got the other two beat on the other side easy because they look mean. I'm just saying. And if I go to the top half,
you
get it. Yeah, the top half, you've got them beat. You got a couple of Exos. Ooh, you got a really scary looking Eco there, Nicole. Nothing against her, but she's not winning. Becky's another Onto. Rachel's another Onto. Wow, there's three Ontos on both. You guys are running the roost. You're running over these women. Look at this. Well, I'll go back and profile everybody here so that you can start understanding how this thing works on the biological level if you care. But I just want you to win the $10,000 and have a good time. Maybe get a new car. Get a car.
Yes, that would be more than amazing.
Yeah, so we'll do our part for you in summertime, and like I said, we'll get this out and get you on the Blog Talk tomorrow. Or I guess now because we're airing it live. And we'll get you out there by March 12th. And maybe if you win, you come back on and take a bow, and we'll go from there. And, you know, thanks for joining us here for a quick segment. Introduce yourself. And hopefully, like I said, this is one of the things we wanted to bring someone who's out in the social media, out there, putting her image out there every single day. And, you know, at 19, there's not, like I said, there's not anyone in your peer group that wouldn't want to be in your shoes looking like you look, doing what you do. But the thing is that I think that's different from what I've experienced with you, is that there's a heart and soul to it. It's not just about, you know, the image. You actually have a lot of integrity in there, and that's why I want to see you go far with this, and I think you're going to be great with this, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you again real soon.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me, and of course, I definitely appreciate any votes that you guys get in, even just to vote, just to get it out there, you know, whether even if it's not for me as much as I hope it would be. Just vote for your favorite girl and check it out.
Trust me, they're voting for you. I'm looking at this page.
Okay.
They're voting for you. All right. You hang
you
on for
so
a second.
Much.
All right, Shannon, you hang on for a second. The rest of you guys keep listening, and we'll be right back with more Summertime.
Thank you.
Hang on. All right. As we click through, I mean, that thing sounded like it was broadcast underwater, but that was the nocostconference.com. And it's funny because now I can't even unplug this. It's going to click through and make all kinds of dopey noises. We're now talking to the few who are listening back to this end of the archive because, of course, we're now we're on the air, but we're not streaming. So we're in the bonus time here. So we're a little over. I can't stand this thing. But I'm going to wrap it up here and see if I can get over to Napster and get out of here. And thank you to Shannon Bakel for coming on. And really, like I said, a living example of someone who is sitting in the middle of social media, her image is plastered all over the place. You can vote for her. The contest ends on Friday night at thefoxsports.com/Hooters. If you missed that link or you want to go back and get clarification on it, you can always get a hold of me at nakedsoma@gmail.com. Make sure you visit the website, too, at somaspace.org. Next week, we're going to get, like I said, down and dirty with a little pagan talk and get this healthcare thing ironed out and get into some nitsy-gritsy. So we'll be going to the left side of the brain next week before we head down south to the big Brain Pick Festival in Tarpon Springs. So for everybody that listened tonight and everyone listening back right now, this is Dr. Mark saying thank you very much for this time and your space. Be yourself and be well. I bid you adieu with the poet Morrison.
The poet says, have you forgotten the keys to the kingdom? Have you been born yet? And are you alive? Let's reinvent the gods, all the myths of the ages. Celebrate symbols from deep elder forests. Have you forgotten the lessons of the ancient war? We need great golden copulations. Fathers are cackling in trees of the forest. Our mother is dead in the sea. You know we are being led to slaughters by placid admirals, and that fat, slow generals are getting obscene on young blood. You know we are ruled by TV blood feast. Guerrilla bands are rolling numbers in the next block of green bark, amassing for warfare on innocent herdsmen who are just dying. Oh, great creator of being, grant us one more hour to perform our art and perfect our lives. The moths and aphids are doubly divine.
Spiral on, Sapiens. See you next week.